You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy is good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. Welcome to episode 101. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus Vandenberg. What is going on, Brother Marcus?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Just starting out here in Virginia, much like most of our listeners that reside in the Southeast. We got the snow from the north. They gave it down to us. And here in Virginia in particular, we've gotten anywhere, depending on where you live, anywhere from 6 to 11 inches of snow.
What is this snow you speak of?
It's the other white stuff, not the Tony Montana white stuff. It's the white stuff on the ground.
Not the cocoa. Okay.
No. And I'm not in love with the snow either.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, it's ridiculous. People down here don't know how to drive in the rain, much less snow. And now, whenever you get snow, you get black ice, which was going to be my rap name if I ever became an MC, because I was going to be dangerous. True story.
Wow.
Like back, see, right? You met me at a time in my life. You met happy go lucky, more mature, mellow Nate. But there was a time, like in the mid '90s, like around the OJ trial and the LA riots, where I was a little more militant. And my rap name was gonna be Black Ice because I was dangerous, and sometimes you wouldn't see me coming.
I went through like a Rage Against the Machine phase in high school where I said, yeah, fuck the man. I think everyone goes through that stage, right?
I think so. Like, oh yeah, real quick before we get into some actual sports, like there was a story, this is something that I didn't live. There was a time in my, I think it was ninth grade. It was either eighth or ninth grade. And we were living out in San Diego at the time. And I took home ec because I needed it for some type of curriculum, and B, that's where the ladies were.
I got a funny home ec story when you're done. Go ahead.
So I took home ec. I did pretty good in home ec. And one day we were making like some arts and crafts, which really isn't even part of home economics. There's nothing home or economics about making little arts and crafts. But anyway, we had to do the thing where, I don't know if you ever did it, where you put like, make plastic molds of things.
No, I didn't have to do that.
Well, like we were doing the stuff with plastic molds, and we were doing a mold of our names. And so I got a piece of black plastic, and then I got red letters to mold it with, and my initials are NWPM. Mm-hmm. But the initials that I put on this project for home ec was NWA, and I wasn't talking about the wrestling company. And so my home ec teacher, who's an older black lady, she's like, let me talk to you for a minute, Mr. Milton. And I was like, yeah. She's like, what is this? I was like, you wanted us to do initials. She's like, those aren't your initials. I was like, yes, it is, Nathaniel William. And then she's like, your last name is Milton. I was like, well, my mother's last name is Alexander. And she was like, mm-hmm. You can either do it right or you can take the F for this particular project.
Damn.
Now, Nate at 37 probably would have been like, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing. But Nate at 15, 16 was like, you know what? It's a shame when your own people try to shut you down. So I was like, I forget her name. I don't even remember what her name was. But let's just say Miss Jones. I was like, you know what, Miss Jones? I'm going to take that F. And she was like, are you serious? And I was like, you got to fight the power. And I took back my little plastic thing, turned on one heel, and walked out the classroom triumphant in a small victory.
And she gave you the F?
Yeah, I got the F. I totally. Matter of fact, I don't even think it was an F. I think it was a 0, which is actually worse than an F.
Damn. Not even like 40 points, like 0 points. Oh.
Yeah, she gave me a 0 for the project, which like brought. I think I was getting a B at the time, and it brought me down to a solid C.
Oh, Nate.
So yeah, that's what happens when you try to be pro black. So what happened with you?
My home ed class, which was 9th grade. The two things I remember about it: one, we had to make an omelet, and I don't eat eggs, so we had to eat an omelet in. I think we had to even taste the omelet, which was gross because I'm not an egg guy. The second thing I remember about my home ed class was in my class, there was a certain individual who would go on to bigger and brighter things once she left my school. I don't think I've told this story before. Would you like to take a guess of the actress?
I mean, there's only two famous people I know from the Unicorns. And I'm
maybe I did tell the story.
I'm talking to you. So I'm like, it can't be you, obviously, A, because you're a man, and B, because I know you and I'm talking to you. So I'm assuming this was the new spokesperson for Jim Beam. I think that's the whiskey she's hawking.
Who was that?
Mila Kunis.
Yes. She's hawking whiskey. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's like, they got her walking through the factory and she's like, most whiskeys take, you know, being all seductive with the drink, most whiskeys take 10 years to whatever the age, but Jim Beam takes 25. And then she like sears her name with a branding iron to the side of a casket. I'll be back for you. So,
money? That's an odd spot for her to take. Hey, that kid coming. So,
hey, yeah, I was gonna say, money is, you know what, if Coke 45 came to me and said, Nate, would you do a commercial for us? The answer would undoubtedly be yes.
But yeah, Mila was in my class. I don't think I said two words to her. And we didn't, you know, she was just another girl.
So why did you try to holler, Marcus?
Yeah, she was just another, I mean, I'm not really attracted to the fairer skinned woman.
She was a little bit exotic, wasn't she? Is she like some type of ethnicity?
Yeah, but
she's just not regular vanilla. She like French vanilla or something.
She had Russian roots, maybe. Yeah, she's had some, but I mean that's the norm in Los Angeles. She didn't stand out, I would say, in terms of like the exotic factor. She was at our high school. She was just,
yeah. She was born in the Ukraine.
Okay, Ukraine. Yeah, so she was. We had other Ukraine students there, or Ukraine students with background from there. So no, she didn't stand out. She was just another chick, and then that 70s show started, and she was gone.
And then she was in that movie with Denzel.
What movie was that?
Book of Eli. It was a pretty good movie. You never saw it?
No, that's one of the few Denzel movies I haven't seen. I've seen a lot of the Denzel movies.
That was like around the time when Denzel was really getting into his action hero role. And he was like in his post-apocalyptic universe where he had to go and fight for what was right. I'm not going to spoil it for you because I think you should watch it. And if I spoil it, like there's one key element that changes the whole viewing of the picture, so I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay. But we can admit now that Denzel is like the black Liam Neeson, right? He's taking the same role with every movie. He's not really showing me any creativity.
I'd go one step further, and this is not even a criticism. I would say in every movie, other than maybe Malcolm X, Denzel is just being Denzel.
Glory.
Yeah, he did. He went ahead and had a little single tear when he was getting whipped. Yeah. So yeah, I'm saying like post whatever Malcolm X was in the late 90s. So let's say post 2005. So for the last 10 years, Denzel just been playing Denzel in every movie.
You'd probably regardless go back to, of the you'd go Training Day. Training Day was before that. So I would go Training Day on.
Yeah. Like Alonzo from Training Day is pretty much the same as Frank Lucas.
Yeah.
Who is pretty much the same as the pilot from Flight.
Who's the same as the dude? What was the last one with
The Equalizer?
The prostitute. Yeah, I paid money to see
and
that.
And The Equalizer is the same as Man on Fire.
It is. It's all and Inside Man. No, that was Denzel, right?
Yeah, Inside Man. Yep. Yeah.
Damn, he's all the same roles.
And Inside Man was Denzel. I think it was Denzel versus Liam Neeson.
No, it was the other dude.
The other guy.
Shit, what's his name?
And we sound like the Key and Peele skit now. You know who's my stuff, bro? Liam Neeson's. Inside Man. Who was the dude in Inside Man?
He was in another movie that I've seen.
Clive Owen. Who was Hawkeye in the Avengers.
And Clive Owen, who was in Closer. Ooh, I've seen that movie. Yeah, okay.
No, Clive Owen wasn't Hawkeye in the Avengers. I'm thinking of Jeremy Renner.
Inside Man was 2006. Wow.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good movie. And like a lot of people didn't know that was a Spike Lee joint.
It's been that long. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's so very. It's different from like most Spike Lee pictures. Like, but you still get that one camera shot where it's like Denzel's on a dolly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So I would say Book of Eli probably is in terms of Denzel post Training Day. It's definitely near the top half.
Oh, Great Debaters was different.
I never saw that one.
Wasn't great.
So you saying the movie title lied?
Exactly.
Should have been just like the I-8 Debaters.
Oh, Training Day was 2001. Oh wow, that's a long time ago now.
Yeah, speaking of a long time, we've gone pretty long on this intro. So let's go. Let's talk about some sports and you know it's about that time, Marcus. I'm sick of snow, but I'm still cool with ice. So let's do the hockey minute. So for those of you that are new to the program, and I know a lot of people might have jumped on the bandwagon after the Super Bowl Royal Rant and also episode 100 last week. So for those of you that don't know, Marcus Vandenberg is a, what would you describe yourself in terms of your hockey fandom?
Oh, I still put it behind baseball, basketball, and football.
So it's your fourth favorite sport.
Fourth favorite sport, but it's at least a favorite sport. A lot of people don't like hockey, so I have that
saying, especially for black people, like to have hockey in your top five.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Because I would tell you, I got the big three, and then at number four, I've probably got boxing, and at number five, MMA. At number six, I'd put roller derby before hockey.
All right, I'm not going to count boxing and MMA because that would be ahead of hockey. This is just ruining the segment. I'm not helping myself here.
Yeah, but let's just say, suffice to say, Marcus is probably the biggest black hockey fan I know. He at least follows the game. So each week he comes in with a little snippet of information or a story or an anecdote, which I think is the same thing as a story, and he gives us a little bit about hockey, and that's the fix for all of you out there that want some hockey talk. So without any further ado, let's go to the segment that is cooler than Polar Bear's toenails. I think I said that in the intro, so I'm just repeating myself now. Marcus's Hockey Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro. Somebody hit the aforementioned intro music. It's time for the segment that's cooler than a polar bear's toenails.
Here's the puck for Seth Jones. Leg one for Jones.
It's Marcus's Hockey Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro.
All right. You're going to learn today.
Thank you. First off, rest in peace to Steve Montador, who died at the age of 35 on, I believe, Sunday it happened. He was a former NHL player who suffered through concussions, and the cause of death isn't known at the time, but that might have been one of the factors to that. So rest in peace to him. But on a happier note, I am traveling to the Bay Area tomorrow, Thursday, or Friday or Saturday, whenever you're listening to the show, for the Sharks-Kings game on Saturday. It's the second outdoor game of this NHL season. It's a sellout. It's at Levi's Stadium, where they're expecting 69,000 people, which is impressive for a regular season hockey game in February. That's a good sign. So yeah, if you have nothing to do this Saturday, which, you know, Nate, you got planned Saturday?
Nope, but you probably won't be watching this hockey game you're trying to put on me.
Man, there will be a hockey game on, Nate. 10:30 Eastern.
There'll be a lot of stuff on Saturday.
Well, for everyone else besides Nate, there will be a hockey game on Saturday night, 10:30 Eastern. And
that's pretty late too for a hockey game.
Two West Coast teams. It happens.
Why don't you make it easier for me? I'm not going to watch it anyway. Is this on NBC?
NBC Sports Network.
Okay, so yes, I need.
Do you get that channel?
I need to address. Is Dick Ebersol still running the thing?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, whoever took over for Dick Ebersol, I'm not interested in this anyway, but there is a bit of an allure to the outside game, and the last one happened on, the Saturday of the Pro Bowl? So nobody watched it either?
No, last one was the New Year's game.
Oh, it was the New Year's
game. It's only two this year, yeah.
Even more so the reason why I wouldn't have watched that first one. But yeah, if I'm going to watch it, I'm more likely going to watch it at a time when nothing is going on. And at 10:30, I'm either getting ready to get into some stuff, or I'm recovering for some stuff, or I'm just, it's too snowy and I'm just going to bed.
But you haven't heard the entertainment yet.
Oh, they got like a halftime show? Or
they have,
how do you have a halftime when you have
intermissions? Period? Intermissions, a 15-minute break.
So every intermission there'll be a performance?
Yep.
Is Kanye West one of them?
No.
And Gary Bettman don't care about black people.
The entertainment for this Saturday night game, John Fogerty and Melissa Etheridge.
Wow. And they'll be playing all three intermissions?
In between the first and second intermission, yeah.
Oh, wow. Like that's the way to skew younger. Like, I like John Fogerty. Center field, I used to play that when I was in Little League. Melissa Etheridge, she had that one hit. What is it, Come to My Window?
They're all the same. I mean, Tori Amos, they all just blend together. Just women rockers.
The Lilith Fair crowd. Sarah McLachlan with them sad dog commercials.
Yeah,
if you really wanted it to be something, like, you know, not that this is any younger, but if you're going to get John Fogerty, why don't you be the NHL and pony up some money and see if you can get Creedence back together?
CCR.
I'd at least watch that.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do during intermission. I might
like NHL. I know this is a segment on a podcast produced and hosted by two African Americans, and I know we're not your base of consumers, but you know, you need to skew. I'm not saying you need to be more urban, like
younger,
like that Atlanta Hawks memo. We're getting a little too urban, but go somewhere where, you know, young people, like, it could be young and also safe. Like Taylor Swift is young and safe.
Even if it was Fall Out Boy, at least they're young. They have a current hit on the radio. I mean, I'm not asking for hip-hop. And that the last time I discussed this around New Year's with... Oh, what was the entertainment for the New Year's Day game? I can't remember this year. That's how memorable it was. But someone fired back, oh, what do you want? Drake? I'm like, well, first of all, people care about Drake, number one. Number two, the people who buy hip-hop the most are white. And number three, Drake is young. So, yes, Drake would be nice. I'm not asking for someone black or hip-hop, just someone relevant, young, under 30, under 40, hell. I mean, Fogerty's pushing 70. I know he's a Bay Area guy. He has ties to the area, but geez, can we get a little younger?
So the first one was the one in D.C.
Yes.
The Blackhawks and the Caps. I'm trying to see who was the halftime or the intermission entertainment. Because that was the Winter Classic. What's the name of this one?
This is the Stadium Series.
But it's only one game, right?
Yeah. Next year they're going to do more, but this year they...
Like, you can't have a series of... Like, by definition, you must have more than one to be a series.
This is a fact.
Also, on a side tangent, like, Bud Selig is out the door. Like, how long do you think Gary Bettman's going to last in this sport?
I think he's going to be around until he wants to retire. I don't think there'll be any pressure to force him out. He's pretty good at his job.
I don't see who the entertainment was. It couldn't have been that great. Actually, Drake would probably be more... Drake would be the perfect bridge. He's young. He's ethnic.
He dropped an album out last week.
Canadian. Yeah, he went the Beyonce route with the secret album.
So sad. Yeah. I can't find out who the entertainment... I mean, I remember watching it and rolling my eyes, but...
Was it a band from the 80s, the 90s?
Oh, it was Billy Idol.
It was Billy Idol?
Yeah.
Billy Idol.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I love White Wedding as much as anyone. And, you know, what was Billy Idol? He had a couple good songs. But, yeah, that's not exactly current.
Oh, and the second intermission, Nat, country singer Lee Greenwood.
That was at the first, the last one?
This was, yeah, in January, on New Year's Day.
Lee Greenwood, who has one hit. Like, the definition of a one-hit wonder is Lee Greenwood. His hit, your only time, like, at least other one-hit wonders, like Tag Team, you might hear Whoop There It Is every now and then. You hear Baby Got Back all the time. 99 Red Balloons, you can hear that on the radio. Lee Greenwood, you only hear his records on the 4th of July, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and maybe President's Day.
Yep.
Proud to be an American. And like, that is, like, I know Lee Greenwood loved his country. Everybody in America should love this country. But that has got to be one of the most, like, blatantly, I'm going to get paid off of some patriotism records in the history of records.
Lee Greenwood is 72 now. So we've had 72-year-old Lee Greenwood, 69-year-old John Fogerty, 59-year-old Billy Idol, and 53-year-old Melissa Etheridge. And last year they had Kiss in Los Angeles. At least Kiss was entertaining. It was fun.
Yeah, I could see Kiss. That makes sense, especially in L.A. But yeah, Lee Greenwood real quick. Like, here's another reason why. I'm not saying I don't like Lee Greenwood, but I just don't care for the man. But Lee Greenwood gets credit for something that James Brown should get credit for, and that's having the Best America song. Because Living in America is 20 times better than Proud to Be an American.
Way better.
So, and it was Apollo Creed's theme song in Rocky 3.
And 4.
And then he died. You heard about the new Rocky real quick? The script that got leaked?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Stallone on his Twitter, and this is, I don't know why I forgot this. This is around the holidays. He had a page. He was like working hard on the next big Rocky movie, and he put a picture of like his script and the glasses. And if you used your Zoom feature on your computer, you could actually read some of the things from the script.
Oh wow!
And apparently, the script was going to be Rocky and my man, who was Apollo's old trainer. You know, the dude looked like Lou Gossett Jr.
Oh, from Rocky 3 and 4.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's going to be Rocky and not Lou Gossett, and they're going to be training Apollo Creed's either son or grandson to go fight for the title.
Well, it's better than Antonio Tarver coming back.
Mason the Lion Dixon. That was the dumbest. Like, Now, here's the thing. Most Rocky movies, the fight scenes are the best part. This Rocky movie was a Rocky Balboa. I liked everything about the movie except for the fight. Yeah.
Like, and you had a real fighter.
Yes. Like, Mr. T looked more realistic than Mason the Lion Dixon, Antonio Tarver's performance.
Who's still fighting, by the way.
I did not know that.
I believe he might even be like a pseudo champion.
Oh, Duke Evers.
Okay, yeah.
It's Apollo's manager. And then he became Rocky's manager. Did you know he's only one of the four characters to appear in all six Rocky movies?
Stallone, him.
Yep.
All six? Wow.
Yep. You could probably get the third one, but you'll never get the sixth one.
Who are the last two?
All right, so it's Rocky, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It's Duke Evers. It's Paulie.
Oh.
And the last one, who won't be able to make it to number seven, unless they do some futuristic editing, was the announcer.
Oh.
Because he was a real sportscaster.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah. Stu Nathan.
Yeah.
Stu Nahan, my bad.
No, you're at it right first time.
And
Stu Nathan.
And he died in 07. So yeah, he won't be in the next one unless they do like something with his voice. Which they'll probably do because Stallone is all about that, like give a shout out to the previous movies.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Like, my favorite scene in Rocky Balboa was when you went to the restaurant and Spider Rico was working at the restaurant. I was like, I was waiting for Tommy Duke to come up, you know what I'm saying? Hey, boss, we're busy at table seven.
Stu Nahan.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, worked in Los Angeles for 30 years.
Yeah, he's Canadian too, which ties it back to the hockey minute.
There you go.
Which is now going on for like a hockey 15 minutes. But that's okay.
Wow, he signed a contract with the Maple Leafs.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, 81 years old when he passed. Yeah, he was a sports anchor in LA for 30 years at KABC, KNBC, KTLA.
He did them all.
He did the Dodgers pregame show until 2004. Yeah. He was doing it big. I totally thought he was just somebody that did, like, I was like, man, he plays sportscaster really well. I had no idea he was a real dude.
Yeah, even Mighty Ducks has, I think, Bob Miller was the Kings announcer. A lot of those movies, those are legit announcers. And usually people in Los Angeles, because of, you know, Hollywood being here, a lot of times they get tapped to do that stuff because they know how to do it. It's easy money for them.
You know my favorite sportscaster cameo of all time in the history of movies?
What's that?
Knowing who like I respect in terms of sportscasters and also my movie sensibilities.
Probably something foolish.
Bob Costas in Pootie Tang.
Yeah, never seen it.
Oh man, it's greatest cameo ever because you know it was on the set of a. Bob Costas' show that he used to have.
Costas, and he's or whatever it's called, yeah.
Yeah, Costas Now or Costas, whatever. And he's talking to Pootie Tang, and he's like, we're here with superstar Pootie Tang, and he's telling us about his new movie. And Pootie's like, let me show you a clip, Bob. And then you see the movie, and then like 90 minutes later, he goes back. He's like, and basically that's what it is, Bob. And he's like, I got to tell you, Pootie, that is the longest damn clip I've ever seen.
Maybe that's why I thought he had a black wife. He was in Pootie Tang. He's down with the people.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, between Mark Merrow, Johnny B. Badd, and Bob Costas and his black wife, like sometimes your racial radar is off.
Johnny B. Badd, I still mind blown still over that.
I'm surprised Vince McMahon didn't honor him during Black History Month.
He might as well. It's better than using the same guys every year. What with the same tribute videos.
So they should, you know what, if Vince really was as bad as like the Mr. McMahon character. One year he'd come out with Black History Month, and your people would be, instead of Ernie Ladd and Booker T and Ron Simmons, it'd be Johnny B. Bad, Akeem the African Dream,
yeah.
John Cena. These are the blackest guys in history.
Notice that list isn't growing every year. It's always the same. I mean, who do you invite tonight? It's Primetime. I mean, you could add Coco to the list. He's a Hall of Famer.
I was going to say, I'm surprised they haven't.
Who else? Who was the dude?
That's the man's limo driver.
Now, who was the other dude in Doom?
Butch Reed.
Butch Reed.
Yeah.
At least give us someone new.
Tony Atlas.
Nah. No Virgil either.
No Virgil.
We'll have to ask our next guest who he would like to see honored next year on the February Black History Month tribute tour.
Yeah, it's good that we have all these questions about wrestling, because you know, we need to bring in somebody knowledgeable and educated as we continue our Road to WrestleMania series. And so I think we might have to turn to the world of academia and bring in a professor.
Is your professor gimmick for black? No, of course not. Well, who am I kidding? Black professor gimmick.
Yeah, so that was segment one, and that was, of course, Marcus's Hockey Minute. And, yeah, we'll be back with the Ringside Wrap, our Road to the WrestleMania series rolls on with a very special guest. So stick and stay. More Kings of Sport right after this. Was Blackbeard till I brought the rock into your ships. Yeah, it's my life. Everything I do for you. Everything I say, you know it's the truth. I'll take all the pressure off for you. What in the wide world of sports is going on here? So Big Ten is mighty than the sword, my lord. My first picture was a lineup, now I'm on the Forbes. And I still remain an artiste through this all. If you force my hand, I'll be forced to draw. If the war calls for war halls, hope you got enough space on your hall's wall.
And now it's time to get you caught up on the week's biggest stories from the world of professional wrestling. It's the Ringside Wrap on the Kings of Sport.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, and if you're hearing that music, you know what time it is. It is the Ringside Wrap, and we continue our Road to WrestleMania series. See, NHL, when you promise a series, you do one thing, then you do the next thing, then you do the thing after that. That's the real series. So this is, what are we at, Marcus? Part three? Is this the third installment?
We had episode 100 with John and Way.
And before that, we had Brian Mann.
So yes, the third installment.
All right, so we're going to continue our Road to WrestleMania series. And each week, we're going to bring in a special guest to talk about the WWE and their progression towards the biggest event on your wrestling calendar, and also whatever else, you know, is going on in the world of pro wrestling. And this week, we're bringing in a friend of the program, longtime wrestling fan, and he is just somebody that brings some knowledge to the table, Marcus, because a lot of times, you know, we get on here and talk wrestling, we talk foolishness, so I think we need to get some knowledge. And so we're bringing in somebody with some education behind him, with some credentials behind him, if you will, and it is none other than our friend, the professor, KME, Brother Chris. What is going on?
Man, just a black man trying to make it in this white world. What's up, y'all?
Happy Black History Month.
Yeah, he is a professor of African American studies.
Yeah, well, African politics, you know, but it's all the same. Yeah,
real quick. I want to ask you this question, because we were talking about this a couple episodes ago, and I made a joke. I don't know if you heard this episode yet, but I made a joke about Martin Luther King. And we were talking about, who was the boxer, Marcus, that shot up people at the Martin Luther King Day Parade?
Oh, Jermaine Taylor?
Jermaine Taylor, yeah. And so he was mad because the kids didn't get candy at the Martin Luther King Day parade. And Marcus is like, what kind of candy do you think MLK would like? And I think, I forget what Marcus said, but I said that Martin Luther King would like Snickers.
You know what? I pegged Martin Luther King, and this is something I thought about.
Joke went over his head. See, thank you.
Went over his head. I knew Chris was gonna get it.
Nope.
No.
Snickers.
Non-violent coordinating committee.
I catch. Yeah, Snick. I get it now.
Even better. He ignored your joke. I like that better.
The only reason I asked that is because we have a ranking of our favorite, you know, friends of the program, and that would have put you over the top, but it's still Brother Henry. He's still got the top spot now.
Oh, yeah, Brother Henry. That's my favorite friend, too.
He's real clear. You're Lex Luger. You're like, you got the U.S. title right now.
I'll take being Sid Justice, that's cool.
Speaking of Justice, Marcus, we are headed towards Fastlane, and I got to tell you, I'm not, I don't even know how Justice tied into that. That's a bad segue, but I'm not excited about this pay-per-view or this event since it's on the network now.
I'm not either. Looking at the card, KME, is there anything that stands out on this pay-per-view besides Bryan versus Reigns?
The only thing that I'm looking forward to is the Sting Triple H segment.
Oh yeah,
and and that's it. Like, nothing else on that card even remotely captures my interest. Not even Daniel Bryan and Reigns. I think it'll be a good match, but it's just not something that if it was still the pay per view format, it wouldn't be something I would pay to see.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you got the card. You got Reigns and Bryan, which you mentioned. You got Bad News Barrett versus Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship that nobody cares about. The Usos versus Tyson Kidd and Cesaro for the tag titles that I don't think anybody cares about. See, Nikki Bella versus Paige for the Divas Championship that I don't think anybody cares about. Notice the theme. And finally, in a match that I do think people care about, in spite of the title, Rusev versus Cena, which, you know, I think obviously Reigns versus Bryan is the match with the most intrigue. But after that, KME, I think that I'm interested to see what direction they go with Cena and Rusev, just for the fact of I don't see them pinning John Cena, but you also can't have Rusev losing at Fastlane.
Nah, it's weird. And they're doing this. This gimmick with Cena where he's like Old Man River or something. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I'm trying to understand why they're trying to bill him as some, like, you know, old dude. And Rusev is younger than Cena, but he actually looks older than Cena. You know what I'm saying? I think that's not... I don't think that's a way you should be going with those two. You know, I think you should just do the Marine crap you've been doing with Cena, where he's, you know, doing the patriotic stuff. And I think that would work a little bit better. I don't know if you put Hacksaw in this corner or Hogan or somebody, but I think something like that would work. Well, Hogan wouldn't take a beatdown from Rusev, I don't think. So you get Hacksaw in there, get him to take a beating, and then have Cena fight for Hacksaw's honor, maybe?
Well, see, I like the segment on Raw this past week because we got serious Cena, but I also think they went a little bit too far. Like, I think if you just thrown him into the lighting array, you know, at rings on the stage, if you just done that once, okay, that's cool. But then to have him beat on this dude for like 5 minutes, like, I thought that was a little excessive, and it made Rusev look a little bit weak, which is something that you really don't want to do at this stage of, you know, this guy's career.
Well, doesn't that sort of telegraph where the match is going? I mean, you can't have another scenario with Cena a la Brock Lesnar where he just, you know, tossed around for 15 minutes. But at the same time, I think Rusev is going to get his revenge on Sunday, and ultimately set up some type of return match at WrestleMania.
You think he beats Cena, or do you think we get some kind of convoluted kind of finish?
Spas, a screwy finish.
I've learned to never bet against Cena in WWE. I think it's either going to be a screw job finish or Cena wins. And I wouldn't be surprised a little if Cena wins.
Didn't that happen with the going back to, I know this might be a sore subject for Marcus, so, you know, get ready, Chris, in case Marcus is this segment right here and now. But didn't it happen during the Bray Wyatt feud? Didn't Cena win the first match, and then they had to go backwards and set up, you know, Wyatt gets his revenge in the second match?
Was the first match at Mania?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first match at Mania. Yeah.
Cena won.
Yeah.
And no one cared.
Yeah. Nobody cared about that Bray Wyatt match. It was really a pointless, like, because I've heard people try to defend Cena beating Wyatt, saying, oh, well, it made Wyatt, and Wyatt went on like a losing streak after that match. So, like, I don't understand how it helped him at all. Like, now they're starting to, you know, get behind. You can't trust pushes in WWE. I've just come to realize that. Unless it's Orton, Cena, or the like, you really can't trust a push in WWE because you never know when they get tired of somebody. Like my fear for Rusev is the minute that he loses, he, like, all those monster dudes, they all turn into clown acts once they turn good or once they lose. Like, they did that with that other Russian dude, Kozlov. They did it with Yokozuna. They did it with Vader. They've done it with Kane. They've done it with everybody. And I don't see Rusev being any different.
I agree. But there's, you know, you talk about pushes. They do seem to have flavors of the month and flavors of the year, where they do really get behind somebody, and the current flavor of the moment is Roman Reigns. And it's an interesting thing the way they built this feud with Daniel Bryan, because in one segment, Roman Reigns will be the jerk, and then in another segment, Daniel Bryan is the jerk. And it's like, you're watering Daniel Bryan down to build Roman Reigns up, and at the end of the day, I think both guys are coming across less than they should at this point, Chris.
Yeah, I agree. I think Roman is a guy that you could easily have. He could easily have a male fan base, even though he's kind of a pretty boy. He has a cool look to him. You could have almost done the Batista or Diesel thing with him, where, you know, he's cool, but he's not cool in a way that's annoying to guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have the chicks that like him, but he still has a good fan base, but I think they just completely destroyed that man. And I think he can build himself back up to being a guy everyone likes, because I do think he has potential, and I completely understand why he's the one that they're going with. But at the same time, it's not something you can force feed people, because people, it's just not the same climate as it used to be.
The Diesel route would have been fun if he sort of modeled that HPK body to our Diesel era, where he didn't say anything. He used his dilt looks and just sort of kept his mouth shut and just beat people up. That would have been fine, but the current Roman Reigns we have now, I have little faith in him as champion.
And that's stuff you just can't forget, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think WWE understands that. It's like, when you put this kind of crap out in the atmosphere, it's immortalized forever and ever and ever, you know what I'm saying? And there's always going to be a tape of Roman Reigns saying suffer and succotash that exists. You know what I'm saying? Like, people aren't going to forget that, you know, not anytime soon. I mean, it did put Goldberg in that wig, and people kind of forgot that, but Goldberg was already an established dude. You know, this is a guy you're trying to build from the ground up, and, you know, you can't be doing that kind of bull crap with him.
Yeah, I think people just forget Goldberg's entire WWF run in general. They're like, nah.
Yeah. That's depressing, man.
Yeah, like I don't want to remember that. But in terms of Reigns, I think like there's a ton of potential with this guy, but the way that they positioned him, and it goes back to when he was hurt. Like, you gave me weeks and weeks of him cutting these weak promos and you know, just showing no energy, no enthusiasm. But, you know, you're the worldwide leader in this thing. You have as many resources as any company in the world. You could have done a bunch of vignettes showing this dude training, showing him, want to connect him to The Rock like they did after the Royal Rumble? Show The Rock visiting this dude in the hospital, or show him hanging out with his family, showing that Samoan heritage. Make me get connected to this dude as a person. Make him relatable, as well as, you know, just this dude that kicks ass. And I think they dropped the ball on making him somebody that the people could get behind, because...
I think Roman Reigns, he kind of strikes me, because I've seen him in other interviews outside of WWE. He kind of strikes me as a around-the-way neighborhood kind of dude. You know what I'm saying? And I think this is an issue we've talked about WWE for a while. They don't have anybody there that could relate to any type of urban audience whatsoever, and you're giving this dude stuff to say that you can just look at the guy and tell this stuff isn't stuff that a guy like him would say.
Yeah, I mean, have you, anybody that hasn't seen that picture from a while back with him and the Usos when they were kids? Like, they look like they about to drop the hottest rap album of 2002.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's like, this guy isn't this, you know? And it's just sad, man. It's sad. I hope his brand survives. I hope he survives. He's I think he's good enough to be okay, but it's just what they're doing with this poor dude is not cool at all.
If you haven't seen the SummerSlam, or not, it was during SummerSlam weekend, but the 2K15 announcement panel they did in Los Angeles, the two most charismatic guys on that stage were Roman Reigns and Cesaro, and both guys who their biggest draw or biggest negatives currently are speaking. One, by the fans for Roman, and then just Vince McMahon thinks he's too Swiss or whatever for television. But he was very charismatic when he was speaking as Cesaro, as himself. So I just wish they would allow these guys more to just be themselves, as opposed to reading off a stupid script written by out-of-touch white guys.
Yeah, and can I say this too? Like, people talk about guys like stumbling over words and stuff, and I think that a good promo, I think when they stumble over words, it sometimes makes it better. Sometimes in real life, when you are angry at somebody, sometimes you do that. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just can't find the right stuff to say. Like, you see it in UFC and boxing all the time, where people, you know, they can't really talk, but the words that are coming out of their mouths feel real. Like, Sid Justice was a guy who used to always just mess up stuff.
A quick sidebar, if you're a degenerate gambler like my boy Marcus and you took the over on the number of Sid Justice mentions in this show, you just won.
Man, we haven't mentioned his name ever on this podcast.
We got two in one.
You guys always have to represent with Sid, man. That dude was awesome. as far as his promos are concerned, my favorite Sid Justice line of all time was when he thought he was gonna main event WrestleMania 8, and then Jack Tunney read Hogan's name, and then afterwards he cuts that promo. Now, Jack Tunney, what you did was bogus.
At the pseudo press conference.
Yeah, the conference. That was so funny, man.
WrestleMania 8 will be Hulk.
Yeah, why don't they do that anymore? Like, we get the contract signings nowadays. I want the press conferences.
No, remember after WrestleMania this year, where they had the stupid fake press conferences after on the network.
Oh yeah,
They had one where Big E, it wasn't WrestleMania, it was one where he lost the Intercontinental title, and he cut one of the funniest press conference promos I've ever seen. I thought this dude was brilliant. And yeah, I mean, we know what he's doing now, but
I was gonna say. Let's
get your thoughts on the New Day real quick. What are your thoughts on
Okay, this is my opinion. You guys are gonna probably get letters and stuff. I'll answer them, but to me, this is the worst time for blacks in WWE history as far as creatively. Financially, they might be fine, but the fact that these dudes are participating in such a coonish gimmick, and to me, people always say, well, they did this kind of stuff in the 80s and stuff like that, and I'm like, okay, you can't hold 1980 standards to 2015. That's one. And then two, you've got these guys who've got college degrees, you know, like I think they say Xavier Woods is a PhD or a PhD candidate.
He's a candidate, yeah.
Yeah, Biggie has a degree. Kofi quit an office job to join wrestling. These guys know better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, at a certain point, you can't really blame the WWE. You can blame them, but you have to put some of the onus on these dudes participating in this stuff. And you can't, and like Tony Atlas and Kamala and those cats, those guys didn't even graduate from the fifth grade. So, you know, like I think. I remember watching something on Tony Atlas, and he didn't even finish middle school. And I think the same bodes true for Kamala. So, but in 2015, this stuff is just foul and wrong, and it makes me sick every time I see the New Day on TV. I have to turn the channel. As far as I'm concerned, for my money, my opinion. I don't know what everyone else is. It's the most coonish thing on television today. I can't think of anything else that's worse. You know, that's just for what I consume a lot of television, and New Day is the worst.
If you just compare black wrestlers and other organizations, you have TNA, which I'm not a big fan of the whole beatdown clan situation, but MVP is not shucking and jiving, so I would give him that. And look at ROH. ROH has guys like Caprice Coleman, ACH, Cedric Alexander, Moose. These are all guys who aren't playing a black wrestler. They're just playing wrestlers who are talented. They're not playing this gimmick.
And yeah, something about Vince McMahon. He can't seem to do a black wrestler that's regular. You know what I'm saying? I think the only one that didn't have a stereotype is Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
I mean, even The Rock had that was kind of stereotypical when it first came out. But there's not too many guys in WWE that you can name that Vince hasn't been stereotyped. Like, and I remember when Flash Funk used to do his shtick, and Vince McMahon would be out there doing his old white guy dance, and he's entertained by this stuff. I know he did the same thing with the Funkettes. He's backstage with them, and he's, Jesus, man. Like, this stuff entertains him. Like, this is what he sees black people as. And I'm not going to go and say that Vince McMahon is a racist, but I do think WWE could afford to take some racial sensitivity training. I mean, they do all this stuff, all this anti-gay stuff, which is great. They should be doing that. You shouldn't be homophobic. But at the same time, which are minorities, you're not giving them their due diligence. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and you know, you like even with I was listening to Del Rio and stuff, you give these guys these titles to win. You get Del Rio, you know, the world title and stuff, and people say, oh, well, he got the world title, and so, I mean, he got the world title, but you still had him out there slanging tacos pretty much. It wasn't like, you know, he wasn't a stereotype towards the end.
You know what would have been a real good character for Alberto Del Rio, real quick though? Like, he could have been Edward James almost from Stand By Me, Lean On Me?
Stand and Deliver.
Stand and Deliver. Yeah, like he's like just trying to educate the WWE universe. Like, how do I reach these fans?
Yeah, they could have done so much more. And it's just amazing to me when I see El Patron in ROH and Lucha Underground now, and he's cutting these promos. He does not sound or even feel like the same guy. It's like he's a completely different person, and I'm just like, and you know, this is the new WWE though. And that's another thing with stereotypes. At least back in the day, these stereotypes, they kind of made sense because the guys were at least, you know, portraying, you know, extensions of themselves. You know, like Booker T the character is not much different than Booker T, you know, in real life.
Yeah.
And Ahmed Johnson the same way. I know Tony Norris, and he's the same. But you know, these new guys, like Kofi Kingston isn't from the streets, and neither is Big E, and Xavier Woods, I don't even know where he's from, but he's not, like, you know, when you come from the neighborhood that, you know, I come from, and you see these guys acting like this, it just doesn't resonate, and it would be different, and they don't even have to be hood. All they have to do is just be, you know, positive role models. Even if they're going to be bad guys, be, you know, bad guys, but, you know, don't be bad guys that, you know, I'm embarrassed of, but, you know, maybe it's just black paranoia on my part.
Let's not forget, guys, that the Vince McMahon, he has stated that his hero is Martin Luther King, so, you know, he can't be all bad.
Yeah, that's a go-to thing that white people say to make them sound less racist than they probably are. Martin Luther King. Shut up, man. Listen,
he's not even my role model. I'm black. So what does that tell you, Vince?
Speaking of, what's a good segue?
You're turning to Samoa Joe, aren't you?
I was going to go from Martin Luther King to Dixie Carter in TNA.
Yeah. Dixie South.
Speaking of Dixieland.
Yeah.
let's go to TNA where, as Marcus alluded to, one of their, if not top stars, one of their most enduring performers has decided to chuck up the deuces, and that is Samoa Joe, who is, what was it, on Twitter, what was it, yesterday or the night before?
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay, and announced that he has severed ties with Impact, and, you know, he thanks the fans, and he thanked the company, but he's out. So the Samoa Joe legacy ends after a decade in TNA, and unfortunately, I think they left a lot of money on the table with this guy. Granted, he didn't push away from the table because you see how big Samoa Joe has been getting the last couple of years, but yeah, they could have done a lot.
I see what you did there. yeah, I think both sides probably lost money because I think Joe's going to get a lot more money now on the independent scene. Sort of following the AJ Styles approach of maybe going to New Japan or going back to ROH and doing stuff like that, as opposed to getting locked up to a long-term TNA deal, which, I mean, let's face it, TNA is not exactly the place that if you're in the, you know, the downside of your career, I wouldn't be wanting to be stuck at TNA.
Yeah, you know what? I could see a reality where the WWE would want to sign Samoa Joe, but in that reality, he's Umaga's long-lost brother, and he's eating raw fish, or he's Make a Difference Fatu. I hope for those reasons, I hope he doesn't go to WWE, because I do seriously think that WWE, he's one guy I think they would show interest in. I think they would show interest in Samoa Joe, just because, you know, Samoa Joe does have a look, and they need guys like him on the roster. But I hope he does do the New Japan thing, join the Bullet Club or whatever. Maybe Lucha Underground. He is a local to LA, so maybe he'll, you know, stay out here and join Lucha Underground. I'm sure Lucha Underground would compensate him well. I don't think they'd pay him as much as they're paying Del Rio, but I think they would they take care of him.
It's a new climate. It's like we're in a new climate where you don't need the WWE or TNA to eat anymore. You know, you can do the AJ Styles route and go to New Japan and become a bigger star, arguably, than you ever were in America. Or you can do the Del Rio thing and split time between Lucha Underground and AAA and ROH and still make your bread while not having to deal with a lot of the bull that comes with TNA or the WWE.
Yeah, and I was listening to Jeff Jarrett on some podcast. I'm getting sick of the GFW talk. But I will say this: he had an idea.
That's what it is. It's all talk.
Yeah, it's after a while, it just becomes annoying to listen to. But I will say this about he had an idea saying that, you know, they should kind of have like kind of a co-op kind of thing where, you know, they're exchanging talent, all these, like, New Japan and TNA and Lucha and all that stuff. I think in this day and age, that would be a worse to say. And when I say co-op, I'm not talking about Marlowe or Barksfield or any of that wire stuff.
Nice wire reference, sir.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. But, you know, just do some, you know, these companies need to work together because it keeps food on these guys' table. And I think if GFW ever becomes a thing, I think that would be, you know, something that they could do. You know, that I think that would be good for the business.
It's also a good way to keep guys fresh. For instance, you know, keep them from getting burned out. Like, let's say this BDC thing, which I think is pretty solid in TNA. Once this ends, you know, these guys have got to go somewhere. So why don't you send, let's say, Low-Key and Kenny King, and let's ship them off to ROH for a couple months, and then they can go to Lucha Underground for a couple months, and then they can go to New Japan possibly for a couple months, and then 6 months later they come back to TNA and they're fresh again.
Yeah, that I think that's the best course of action for these guys that are competing with WWE who have 95% market share. And even with WWE in its downtime right now, because I was reading on Yahoo, Marcus, the Yahoo Finance, and they were talking about just how worthless WWE stock is. You know, even with the stock that worthless, they're still head and shoulders above everybody else, unfortunately. So, you know, hopefully these smaller organizations, you know, work together to, you know, at least be competitive with WWE.
Yeah, I mean, ROH has the New Japan partnership, which has worked out well for both sides. But TNA definitely needs to partner. I mean, who's their current Japanese partner?
Muda's promotion, yeah, nah. Russell One.
Yeah, they need someone with a little more star power than Russell One.
Yeah.
And preferably someone in the United States. Whether that be ROH or something along those lines, where even Lucha Underground, I mean, they've done stuff with AAA in the past. I don't see why they wouldn't try to do something with Lucha, because both sides could use not only the bodies and fresh storylines, but the edge promotion.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, and you know, it's going to be interesting. TNA, real quick, what has been your opinion of the Destination America show so far? Because, you know, obviously Marcus has his opinion, and you can hear my opinion. You can hear my opinion every week with Brian Mann, friend of the program, on reviewing Impact. But what have been your opinion of TNA so far in this new era, Chris?
I love the new review of Impact, by the way. You guys have really good chemistry. Brian Mann,
he's like the most improved player now.
Yeah, you guys bring out the best in each other, man. And I didn't know he had that kind of insight until you guys start working together. So big up to Brian, man. But I will say this about TNA. It's horrible. but I do like, I feel like I have to represent just because of the way they're treating their African American talent.
Oh,
you know?
Stop.
It's just it, man. I mean, I got, like, when I watch WWE and I see these dancing guys, these blue idiots coming out singing gospel, trying to get fans to chant something that nobody's going to ever chant ever in life. It's hard to watch. It's just grating for me to watch, you know. And when I say the stuff about TNA, it's not like that's like me scraping at the bottom of the barrel just to find some monicum of niceness to say about them. You know what I'm saying? I can't realistically give. You know, I can't really say, oh, this is good when it hasn't been good, man. It's been god awful. It has not lived up to the hype. They're still doing 50 face and heel turns, like, and they still are horrible at establishing characters. The storylines are dumb. You know, they got talent there that they could utilize a lot better that they're just not. They're not doing much with, and it feels like WWE light, and that's my problem with TNA. I give it up to MVP because I like MVP. I like Kenny King, and I like Lashley. Who else is there? As far as the brothers are concerned, I think that's about it. I like those guys.
Yeah, those are the main ones.
Yeah, and I you know, I like those guys. I represent those guys. Lashley's pretty good about tweeting back and stuff, so I like those guys. And for that reason,
you didn't get into a fight with them on the internet like Marcus may or may not have with a certain black TNA performer.
Ah, shoot. Yowza.
Who is that?
You know our friend Schmontel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Schmontel, Schmavius, Schmorter.
We're good.
You good now?
We're good now.
shout out to Schmontel.
Yeah. It's, you know, that TNA has got it. I honestly don't know if TNA even wants to succeed. Like, I watch the show and I see, like, just the mediocrity there. And I think they're perfectly happy and satisfied with it. I don't think that they've got any kind of desire to be better. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know anybody's credentials. I don't know John Gubrick, besides being the fat redheaded bald dude from Tough Enough. I don't know what his credentials are. Bruce Pritchard, it's obvious when he was there that when he was in WWE, his job must not have been much, because in TNA, he wasn't anything. Maybe Vince is the guy that makes these dudes relevant, you know what I'm saying? Like, with your Vince Russos, your Bruce Pritchards, your John Gaburics, and all them people, maybe Vince is the guy that gives these dudes relevancy, and as soon as they leave him, they don't have any type of creative direction at all. Maybe it's just that simple.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest issue with TNA still is the fact I don't know what they're building to. Without the pay-per-view in play, it's week by week you're getting all these matches and all these stiff matches at that. But what exactly is the bigger picture? Because there's nothing on the calendar at the moment that says, hey, in June, we're having this big pay-per-view and these guys are fighting. There's none of that. It's week by week of the same old stuff. At least WWE, where you're getting the same match every week on TV, but you know at the end of the month, they're at least building to something, and they're not building to anything in TNA at the moment.
When I watch, you know, New Japan, and when I watch ROH and Lucha Underground and all this other stuff, those promotions seem hungry. They seem to at least want to get better, and they seem to want people to watch and want to grow their fan base. And I just don't get that impression when I watch TNA. Like Lucha Underground, I look at that promotion and I see them, you know, I could realistically see them surviving. And I think the program is good enough to where even if they're losing money for right now, Robert Rodriguez and Burnett, they have enough faith in it to allow it to lose money for as long as it needs to lose money until they start turning a profit. And I just don't see that with TNA.
Well, see, that's the bigger thing to me, even more so than, you know, the lack of the pay-per-view structure, because, you know, Lucha Underground, we don't know what they're building to, but they keep you coming back because their presentation is different, because their storytelling is different. And that's what Brian and I were talking about on this past episode of Review and Impact. It's like, you had an opportunity moving to Destination America to not only redefine your company, but also redefine your presentation and make it more true to a sports production. Make it whatever direction you want to take it in, but at least do something different. And they have not done that. And while the in-ring is as good as ever, the packaging around it doesn't energize the fan base, you know, and I think you got a lot of people that are watching out of habit than more so than, you know, I got to watch this because I don't know what's going to happen this week.
Yeah, and the reason
go ahead, Mark.
The reason why I don't associate pay-per-views with Lucha is because, it wasn't established like TNA was. I mean, TNA has been in the business now for 10-plus years. They've sort of set up this model where they're on a pay-per-view schedule. Lucha, I just see as a sort of week-to-week show. I don't really view them up against the ROH or TNA or WWE. And the second thing about Lucha is they are reaching out and tapping into a growing demographic in Hispanics. And I think that's why they'll survive, because they're reaching out and they're catering to an audience that doesn't have enough programming, that even though it's not I wouldn't consider it a quote-unquote Hispanic show. There's Hispanic wrestlers and Hispanic theming, but I think anyone can watch Lucha and be fine with it. But it does cater to them in terms of giving them something to watch. So I think, I mean, TNA, that's just, you know, there's nothing that ties into any race or anything like that. So that part, they can't take advantage of.
Yeah, and I got to give,
though, like, especially with the BDC, like Chris was talking about earlier, they have had, in fact, for their history, they've had a better presentation of minority workers, of lighter workers. They could have been the urban show, you know, not necessarily
you would have alienated your audience, though. So.
But not necessarily, because what you do is you skew younger. Because as we talked about in the hockey segment, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Spanish, whatever, younger kids are tapped into that quote unquote urban zeitgeist. They're tapped into the hip hop. They're tapped into the fashion. And if TNA would have said, you know what, let's go for a younger demographic instead of getting, you know, the same old Attitude Era, Monday Night War era fans that we're still writing for, let's try to get the newer fans in here. Let's bring in the college kids, almost to an NXT extent. They could have done that when they rebranded and moved to Destination America.
We need to get the metrics checked on how many blacks watch Lucha Underground. I'll be really interested in seeing that, because
as well.
Yeah, because I was watching, like, when I watch, because I watched the El Rey Network, there's a lot of different stuff. They always show these blaxploitation movies and stuff like that I like. I have to say this about Lucha Underground. I'll be remiss if I had this opportunity on you guys' show and didn't say this. I got to thank Conan for getting Big Zeke out of those nut huggers. He didn't look right in them. And I gotta give Lucha. I don't know who got him out the nut huggers, but I'm just assuming it was Conan. And I gotta give them credit for making that dude an interesting character. In WWE, I just remember one day he was beating up people, and he was Brian Kendrick's manager, and he was a badass. And then one day he just came out there smiling, and then Michael Cole was like, Ezekiel Jackson just loves to have a good time, and he's just smiling for no reason, just out there smiling and doing nothing else but smiling and just happy for whatever reason, you know. And I like what they're doing with him, even though I don't think that he's gonna be any kind of main event or something. I just like that he's, you know, not doing the crap he was doing in WWE.
I'd agree. So shout out to Conan. Boom. We might have to see if we can get Conan on the show one of these days.
Yeah, that would be cool if you just got him.
I can't discuss weed with him. But yeah, we can discuss wrestling.
You said we can't discuss weed?
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh yeah, that's right. You guys have professional careers that would be frowned upon.
It would be, yeah. Even in the state of California, yeah, it'd be frowned upon.
Then again, Chris, you're like a liberal professor. That's what the media always tells me. So shouldn't you be all about that medicinal marijuana?
I should be, I guess. You know, I have multiple sclerosis. I don't go around broadcasting that, so I could easily get medicinal marijuana, but you know, that's just never been something that I ever had the desire.
Hold that thought. We'll talk after the podcast.
Oh yeah. We can make work out an arrangement.
I had to come out and visit cousin Chris. This is the episode 101, the final edition of the Kings of Sport before Nate gets arrested. I don't think Skype reaches Chino. Be up there doing a bid.
Hey, Mike.
California. Man, if we have any listeners in jail, please email us. I'm dying to hear from you. I'm dead serious here. If you're listening in the Twink, let us know. We would love to have you on, but, you know, you're in jail. So,
shout out to D-Block.
Yeah. I have homeboys in jail that be, like, contacting me on Facebook and stuff and, like, have cell phones and just, I don't know how they be getting.
Listen, I watched The Wire. You saw how, what's his face lived?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not D'Angelo. Who was the other dude?
It was,
Weebay. Weebay. Yeah, Weebay had it nice.
Yeah.
Weebay was having Popeyes in jail. He had a cell phone. He had a fish tank. Jail was kind of nice.
You gotta be connected.
Yeah.
Real quick, Chris, we're going to let you get out of here in a little bit. But as a professor, what grade would you give this conversation that we just had?
I'd give it a B+ because I think I get on little tangents. You know what I'm saying? I know people get because I've was accused of this on my show all the time. I get on these race tangents, and but you know, that's how it is with me. And if you listen to anything I'm on, you'll get at least one. So hey, it is what it is, you know. I don't think race and wrestling is talked about enough. So you know, if I was ever, I respect the work Marcus does because he's a professional. If I was ever in one of y'all's position to interview somebody like a Triple H or Stephanie or Vince, those would be the only people I would ambush in the interview. I would pretend that it was going to be a copacetic interview at the beginning. I would be like, hey, guys, yeah, cool. We'll just ask you these questions and talk about all the pre-interview questions. And then when the interview started, I'd beat the shit out of them with a bunch of race questions.
It'd be a short interview, trust me, because they listen on those calls, so they would definitely step in.
Oh yeah. And that would just give me enough to know what that company is, what their main objective is. See, the thing about them is I don't even think you have to ask a difficult race question. You know what I'm saying? You don't even have to ask an awkward question like, how come you were calling Booker T the N-word? You could ask something simple like, you know, so are there any black talent that's going to get pushed anytime soon? And I think that would make them uncomfortable. So, it is probably what it is.
Well, that is he's a friend of the program. He is a fellow radio host. He's got a program in the works, and we'll let you know when that project is dropping. And he's an angry black man, as you've heard.
I am a content black man. There's a difference. There's no reason for me to be angry. I'm doing yoga now and intermittent fasting, so that keeps me kind of happy.
Like, anytime I'm not the one sparking the racial topics on this show, I'm happy because I get to kind of step back and play Switzerland.
Oh yeah, send all your tweets and your angry stuff to me. I'm at kmeasydoesit@twitter.com. That's kmeasydoesit on Twitter. And you can like my page, TG site on Facebook, TGSITE. And then you could just ambush me with a bunch of hate questions and ask me why I'm so angry and racist. And I'll say black people can't be racist. Now kiss my ass. And we'll do the exchange. And you guys will just hate me even more.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is brilliant.
What
so
a
heel again,
turn here by KMA.
Yes. Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
Right? Dang.
That is, again, friend of the program and future leader of the new Nation of Domination, our brother, Professor KME, again, getting us ready for Fastlane, which takes place this weekend, and keeping that road to WrestleMania going. So thanks for coming on with us, man, and we'll have to do it again sometime.
Oh, yeah, thank you guys for having me. Mark, I hope we chop it up here in Los Angeles pretty soon. Nate, I will be on the East Coast the end of August. I'm going to Atlanta, and then I'm going to Tennessee, then North Carolina, then D.C., and then okay. New York. Hey, so
you had to let me know when you make your way up. We can get a drink, get something to eat.
Yeah, no doubt, no diggity.
And so yeah, that is the Professor KME. We are the Kings of Sport. Now, we talked a lot about black and white in this particular segment, but coming up next, Marcus, is segment 4, and we're talking about a shade of gray, perhaps 50 shades of gray.
I saw that, man. Oh. I saw that.
Way to bury the lead, KME. What do you mean you saw this movie?
Yeah, why didn't we talk about this 40 minutes ago?
I don't know, man. That was an interesting movie. Me and the chick that I saw it, we're still talking about it. So
I think the question everybody listening wants to know, though, is did you get them thrills?
You know what? No. She's a girl that I've been trying to date for a while. And the way that she would date me was me saying, hey, let's go see 50 Shades. And she went out with me. So I appreciate that. I'm not one of those brothers that try to pretend I've got some type of crazy game or whatever. You know, I have to put in work with the chicks. You know what I'm saying? I'm not rich. I'm not anything. I'm a regular average dude. I don't have a six pack, so I gotta, you know, I gotta put in work. So the babe says she wants to see 50 Shades. We're seeing 50 Shades, and then I have to do a succession of things like that, and then maybe she'd be my girlfriend. And then after about a month or two of being my girlfriend, maybe we get to the thrill sampling part of.
Damn, what an honest man.
I have to do the courtship thing with the women.
There's levels to this. There's levels.
Yes.
Lord.
That's great. But you know what? The person we're going to talk about in the next segment that is referencing 50 Shades of Grey, you'd have to work a lot harder than that to sample those thrills. And she is one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. And somebody that makes Marcus shake his head on a regular basis whenever her name is brought up on this program. That is the one and only Lolo Jones. Oh, yes, she's back in segment four. So I'm going to go fill up my cup because whenever we talk about Lolo, things seem to get a little bit thirsty around here. So
this interview, yeah, this is the worst. This went down to a B minus for that joke right there. So
I will say this is the worst.
Great keeps falling.
One of the worst ending of a segment in recent history. Even though we did have that great story of KME's love life, that great update.
That was amazing.
Oh yeah, Lolo Jones is. I saw the stuff she was saying about that movie, man. She was going off. She wasn't telling any lies, though. I mean, God don't approve of that shit. You don't even have to be religious to know that, man. That movie was Skinamax mixed with a soap opera mixed with a cheesy Lifetime movie.
Mm.
Yeah,
you know what? I could save you the trouble, Chris. You could have saved the $20, however much it costs, and just
$31.50.
You could have gone on YouTube, invited her over to the crib, and watched Silk Stockings from USA from back
then. That's the truth. That's exactly the truth. You even get the cheesy soap opera music playing through the whole fucking movie, and then But the good thing is she's gonna see Focus with me on the 26th. So I got a second date, baby.
I don't think we've ever had a guest plug their next upcoming date.
That's on the first show too. Sid Justin, no, second dates. Breaking barriers here on the show.
Oh, hey, that's great. Yeah, that's great. Shoot.
That's in this economy, I'm lucky to get anything. So, second date is what it is.
If you want to congratulate the professor on his upcoming date or call him an outright militant racist, you can hit him up on Twitter at KMEasyDoesIt. And of course, he's a frequent contributor to the program and a friend of the program. So we'll have him back on maybe after Mania to get his thoughts on the big show.
Yeah, hopefully, man. I enjoy.
Are you gonna be in attendance at Mania this year?
I'm not going to Mania, but I am gonna go to San Francisco that weekend. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna kick it with everybody. I'm gonna say what's up to John and Way.
Oh wait, are you going to the show?
I'm not going to. I just can't justify.
No.
Going to WrestleMania.
No, the podcast. What's WrestleMania. That? John and Way's the live Wrestle the review away.
Oh yeah, I'm going to that. I'm gonna say what's up to them. But doing the WrestleMania thing, I need some convincing to go, and I just don't have a reason to go to WrestleMania this year.
I will see you in San Jose then at the live Review Away podcast.
Okay, all right, cool, man. We'll kick it. Do you drink?
A little bit, yeah.
All right, I'll get
I'm not,
you.
I'm not a Nate Milton type drinker. Where
yeah, me neither. Me neither. I'm kind of squeaky clean with my drinking nowadays.
Nate's hold the level with that.
I'm like the Ric Flair of this particular group. I'm gonna be the one partying.
Yeah, I'm Tully. I'm Tully.
You're Tully, yeah. So we've gone from 50 Shades of Grey to 50 Shades Away, and we've been ending this segment for the past 5 minutes, so
this is my fault. I'm sorry. Hate mail to
me. It really is. I had a nice little easy outro with the Lolo Jones thing, and then you had to give us your movie review. So yeah, blame Chris for the length of this podcast if it goes like 2 hours. Change.
Segment four coming up next.
That is what's coming up next. Kings of Sport, Professor, we go. States get all the protection and tell them again. I'm a left lane nigga. My life is much faster than yours. I'm with a chick then it's attached to a bra. Got the Air Ones matching the car. All white, my niggas slinging all night, so we rapidly score. That's what they wanna clap at me for. Understand that the flow is like the coke daddy naturally raw. So I'ma get my cash on and my mash on, then get my ass up out of the fast lane. It don't last long.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport. Marcus and Nate holding things down for yet another week, and we are getting ready to close up shop. But before we do, we have to give you what you want, give you what you need, and what you want and need is ratchetness. And that's what segment four is all about. We combed through the world of sports and entertainment over the past week and give you just the most ratchet stuff we can think of. And we got two stories that are very interesting this week. And let me just tell you, folks, these two stories, how great they are, because we were going to talk about Delaney Walker and his lady putting his business out there on these streets, but these two stories knocked that out of segment four. So that's how you know it's going to be a doozy this week. And we talked about it at the end of our last segment. Lolo Jones back in the news for her opinions on 50 Shades of Grey, Marcus.
Yeah, she's not a fan. She's not about that 50 Shades life, and she doesn't want you as the customer to be about that life either. She went on Twitter and said, funny how some people think there's nothing wrong with 50 Shades of Grey. God didn't create sets for that purpose. And she later said, watch another movie. I thought sets were sets. Like, I mean, if you are with that special someone and you're married and he or she is the one you're with, then why does it matter how you get down?
Well, first of all, I think it's kind of ironic that Lolo gives this movie two thumbs down, because I think that's one of the chapters in 50 Shades of Grey. Two thumbs down. So, I've heard that it's not a good movie. I'm not interested in going to see it. I am not this is the type of movie that is retribution or payback for something. You know what I'm saying, Marcus? Like, if your girl's not a sports fan and you made her watch the Super Bowl or the All-Star game, yeah, and she's like, you know what? I'm going to watch the All-Star game, but you got to take me to go see 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, at least just popcorn and stuff. I mean, you can find ways to entertain yourself, I guess, for 2 hours. So
yeah, I don't know what I'm like. I don't know. Get the phenomenon. I guess it's like softcore porn for soccer moms. But has your fiance been interested in this book, in this movie, like most of the women in this nation have been?
Funny enough, we were actually at a wedding over the weekend, and the topic came up, and now she is interested in reading the books. So, yeah. No, she wouldn't ask me to go see the movie, so I'm good there.
Okay. But yeah, it's very interesting. Like, I've never opened the book, but I've heard some of the passages because, again, shout out to Dan Le Batard. He has a bit on his radio show where his father, Poppy, reads passages from 50 Shades of Grey, and it is the most ridiculous thing in the world. So I know the type of imagery that is evoked in his book, so I can just imagine what's on the movie screen. And Lolo, you know, I like Lolo Jones. I'm a fan of Lolo Jones because I think she is just, she's an interesting person to me. Like, she's I won't go as far as to say she's complicated, but she's complex. You know, she's an admitted virgin. She, you know, is very religious, but at the same time, she'd be up in ESPN magazine butt naked. At the same time, you know, she's just a real interesting compilation of different personality traits. And on the one hand, I could kind of see what she's saying, but on the other hand, it's like, this is just entertainment, man. It's at the end of the day, what are we fighting for? Like, you got to pick your battles. You know, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I'm very spiritual, but at the same time, you know, I'm not going to be out here on these streets arguing that 50 Shades of Grey is something that we shouldn't show people. If people want to pay to see it, you know, they're voting with their money. They're voting with their dollar.
And guess what? People wanted to see it based on the money. It made just under $100 million this past weekend.
Yeah, and granted, it was an extended weekend because of President's Day.
But this was still the biggest opening for, I don't know if it was for President's Day weekend or Valentine's Day weekend, one of the two, but it was the biggest opening for one of those two weekends ever. So, yeah, set sells. Sorry, Lolo.
Yeah, we still love you, Lolo. At least I do. I don't know how Marcus feels about you.
You know, as an athlete, she's very talented, but I just feel like she, part of her image or part of her way of staying relevant when it's not Olympic season is to just say stuff like this, and so I'm not really paying her any attention.
She's interesting, like I said, because she seems, again, the contradictions. She seems very confident and self-assured when confused. It comes to very athletics, confused. But when it comes to, like, her personal life and when it comes to relating to normal human beings, she seems very, very needy, very starved for attention, very thirsty, as I alluded to earlier. Like she just needs a hug.
She needs more than that.
Well,
she needs to find her Mr. Right.
Yeah. So Lolo Jones, keep your head up. Also, we learned in this segment that Marcus will not be seeing 50 Shades of Grey, but his fiance is reading the book. So.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if she wants to see the movie. I think she just might be into the books or interested in the books. So we'll see.
I heard the books are crazy, though, because, you know, you got the outright sex stuff, but then you got, like, this mystery tacked onto it. So, but, I mean, I don't know, man. Whoever's writing these books, like, they making paper, though. Like, these are the biggest books since Harry Potter.
Yeah, you might be right.
So, shout out to you, 50 Shades of Grey writer, who I don't even care to look up right now. But you know what I do care to look up, Marcus?
What's that?
Is this video that you sent me in our Facebook chat that I haven't looked at yet because I'm a busy man. I be out here, you know, on these streets making chicken, fighting snow. I do it all. I'm a Renaissance man. But you sent me this video, which was surprising for a couple reasons. Number one, the title of the video was Why You Shouldn't Interrupt Afro Man When He's Playing Guitar, which, like I said, is surprising for two reasons. One, I didn't know Afro Man was still out. And two, I didn't know the Afro Man played guitar.
Yes.
So Marcus sent me this video, sent me this link, said, you got to watch this. So I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it now, and we will discuss it after I view what goes on with Afro Man.
All right.
Anticipation is killing me.
Still loading?
Yeah. All right, here we go. Oh!
There it is.
Oh, this is so wrong. This is so wrong.
Now, if you haven't seen this video, it's Afro Man playing the guitar and a woman who is just dancing on stage. I don't know how she got on stage, but she's just
probably
sort of
inebriated.
She's in her own little zone, just or dancing. High. And she like taps Afro Man, and Afro Man, without even looking, just delivers a haymaker and knocks her out.
Yeah, like she looks like she's Caucasian, and she's doing like the white girl back that thing up.
Yeah.
And bumps into Afro Man, and he literally, like, it's not a push, it's not a shove. He winds up and cold cocks this woman who just hits the deck and, like, hits her back against the stage. Like, oh, this is terrible, yet amusing.
He was arrested for what he did. And,
what?
He went on TMZ and said he's going to anger management rehab.
Still watching the Vine.
For like, what he did.
Like, usually, wouldn't you think potheads would be more mellow?
You would think. And I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt because, you know, maybe he didn't know it was a woman. But it's not the first time he's done after a fan, it looks like. He did it in December as well. So, Yeah, that's a problem. You can't.
First of all, how many fans does this dude have left? Because that song, when did Because I Got High come out? Like,
oh, early 2000s.
Yeah, like I was going to say like 04, 05 maybe at the latest.
Earlier, I think.
Like, that song's been out for at least a decade, so he can't have that many new fans. Second of all, if you see him punch the chick or the dude, who was it, a chick in December?
I was a dude.
Okay, you seen him punch the dude in December. Why are you trying to hop on stage and back that thing up on Afro Man well, now?
Period. First thing first, don't hop on stage at any show. And, you know, I understand why he got arrested, but if this was a dude who was on stage and he did the same swing, he wouldn't have been arrested.
No. It's just like we see in wrestling. Like
wrestling,
once you
enter
your
fair
the performer's,
game.
You know, arena, like, you know, yeah, you stop being a fan at that point.
Same thing with football. You're a streaker, you're fair game. So, yeah, I just, you know, my fiance is here. She's trying to get in the door.
Uh-oh.
Maybe she'll join the podcast. Would you like to say hello to the people? We were discussing you earlier. 50 Shades of Grey. About wanting to read the books. Just say hello. Just say hello to Nate.
Moment.
You can't hear Nate, so.
Oh, hi, Nate.
No, hey,
Nate,
how you doing?
It's just a picture.
Oh.
How you doing?
He said, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
He said he's doing great. All right. There we go. That only did 101 episodes.
Yeah. at least you didn't punch her for coming into your workspace.
Yeah, so Afro Man.
You got to, first of all, you got to go on Vine and check out. We might even post a link on the Facebook page. Facebook.com/KingsOfSport to give you the full effect of this. Like, Afro Man is just grooving with his little plaid Jimi Hendrix jumpsuit on. And the part that got me, and it still gets me even as I'm watching it now, is after he punches her, like, if I did that and I just turned around and saw
he shrugged it off.
I would be like, oh, snap, what have I done? My man hits the little shoulder shrugging and gets ready to turn back around and finish the solo.
And it like an open hand slap. And her head like bounces off the side.
Yeah,
of the
it's stage. Like it's like a cross between a slap, like the fist isn't fully closed, but it's like one of those palm strikes.
Yeah.
He had like a roundhouse palm strike.
Damn, that's violent.
Yeah. Like it's a good thing Roger Goodell is at the commissioner of music because Afro Man would get put on an exempt list right now.
Yeah. That's the more I watch it, the more I'm like, wow.
You can't even blame weed, like I said, man, because weed doesn't make you do this.
Mm-mm.
Alcohol, maybe. Cocaine, maybe. Not weed.
Yeah, that was the woman is okay. She I think I saw she was a little bloody, but she managed to like get up.
Yeah, we can't tell the attractiveness of this woman from the video, but like I said, Afro Man, I don't know how many fans he has right now. Like, if I'm an Afro Man, I'm like, hey, you might as well.
You just add one less fan.
maybe Don King will watch this Vine and sign him. The most splendiferous fighter in the world. You see them knock people off of stages. He's been in all the news pages. It's Afro Man. Mm. Only in America. Like, why is this is the only reason Afro Man is relevant in 2015. And it's not even like he didn't lead the show. He's not on the top of TMZ. Like, he's an interesting footnote because of this. It's like, if you're Afro Man, how good have the last 10 years been? Like, what's the peak of Afro Man outside of that song? Like, how good could his life have been for the past 10 years?
He's released a bunch of albums. A bunch of albums.
More than five?
Like 15.
In 10 years?
Let's see. Drunken High. A Cope 45 Christmas. Waiting to Inhale.
I gotta get Cope 45 Christmas.
Fro Obama, Head of State. Save a Cadillac, Ride a Homeboy. Fro Jams. Marijuana Music. Dope Dealer Ditties. Fuck Everybody, Marijuana Music, Hothead Pimp, The Fro Rider, World's Greatest Wino. Yeah, he's had a bunch of albums.
I guess when you smoke a lot of weed, like, that's all you can do is, like, that's music. Like, you know, that'll spark the creative juices. But, yeah, man, I can't imagine these records selling a whole lot of volumes, a whole lot of units. Like, and whatever money he does make, I'm sure he spent it all on Jimi Hendrix plaid pants and weed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know he played guitar, so I learned at least one new thing about Afro Man today.
And he's only 40, so.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Like, he Afro Man, like, literally, like, he looks like my uncle.
He looked 65.
Yeah. Like, if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't know if that was Afro Man or Eddie LaVert. But Eddie LaVert's dead, so. You'd hope it wasn't Eddie LaVert.
No.
And that zombie smacked the shit out of that woman. Walking Dead by ass. I'm glad you brought this to the show, Marcus. Even though it's reprehensible in this current climate, or any climate
yeah.
To smack a woman like that. But hey, I mean, I'm not defending the smack, but she shouldn't have been there. So it's her own fault. Like, I think this is the one time you can blame the victim.
Yeah.
Like, no, you don't get on stage and dance with Afro Man. You don't get up. You don't do that.
You don't get on stage. Unless he invites you. Yeah.
Unless you get invited on stage. Like, whatever happens on that stage, like, if you get hit, if he throws a beer at you, like, hey, you don't, you know, I don't come to your job and get, you know, and get behind your desk and interrupt you.
I just hope he didn't know. That's all.
It'd be worse. Actually, it might be better if it turns out he actually, A, knew it was a woman, and B, like, she had slept with him the night before. Oh. He's like, I'm back, Afro. I said, get out of here, Maybelline. I don't know why I named him Maybelline. Oh, Afro Man. This is like, there's a couple times when we do this show, Marcus, I wish, like, this was an actual radio show. Because that would be like, I'd be sending the producers in the next segment to go try and get Afro Man on the phone.
He's out of jail, so.
Like, so, Fro, why'd you do it, Fro? Why'd you do it? Fro is still looking nice, though, if you were wondering.
Yeah, at some point.
Yeah, like, the Fro is still working. Like, I don't know if it's real or if he's enhanced it.
It's only 40. I'm sure it's real.
It's a prosthetic. He using Just for Man to get the gray out like Clyde Frazier. But yeah, that's great. That is not the smack, but the video. Like, it's just like the moments. Like, you know how you start to watch Vines over and over and you can start to pick out different pieces?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the moment where she's backing it up and she sees that he realizes she's on stage, she starts to smile because she's going to get to meet her hero. And the next thing you know, she meets her hero's right hand.
Turn off the Vine.
the joy that she has, like, she's accomplished her dream, Marcus. She's probably like a waitress at Perkins, 45, maybe a little bit younger. She's like, you know, I'm going to do it. This is my birthday. It's going to be all about Jolene tonight. And then Jolene gets on stage.
I thought it was Maybelline.
I think Jolene's funnier.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Jolene. And Jolene gets the crap smacked out of her. Oh, Afro Man. You got anything else on this story, Marcus?
Nah, that's it. I got Popeyes in front of me, so... We done wrap this show up.
Uh-oh, Marcus said he got Popeyes and his woman's reading 50 Shades of Grey. It's going to be a good night in the Vandenberg household.
Instigator Milton.
Hey, I'm trying to help you out, Pippin. You know what I'm saying? Chris, we heard about Chris, so you know, hopefully one of the three of us can have a happy evening.
That's true.
You gotta do it for the hood, Marcus. Do it for the hood. Where is this show going? Like, you took it off the rails with Afro Man. Like, I feel like I'm high now, just from watching that. I caught a contact. So speaking of contact, hey, this might be the best segue ever. If you want to contact us, give us your thoughts and opinions on the show. Give us some feedback, some things maybe you'd like to hear about. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. Hit us up on Twitter, Cospod, KOS_POD. And you can reach us individually. Marcus, where can the people go to hear about hockey and hear about your WrestleMania plans and get your review of Popeye's Chicken tonight?
Twitter and Instagram at Mark Lowell, MarcoWill.
You can follow me at N8, MozaiK. Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Again, shout out to Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest in sports, pop culture, all of that good stuff. Maybe they'll even be talking about Afro Man this week. PlaceToBeNation.com. And shout out to the High Voltage Radio Network. New friends in the game. So shout out to High Voltage and the plethora of shows that are available on the High Voltage Radio Network. So that's going to do it for this week. Episode 101 is in the books. Come back next week where we'll have more to talk about. Marcus will have another Hockey Minute. We'll continue our Road to WrestleMania series. Right now we're looking to get former WWE writer Alex Greenfield on the show next week. So stay tuned for that. And, of course, we're going to have more ratchetness for you in Segment 4. So that's going to do it, Marcus. Have a good night. Enjoy your chicken and yeah, I'm just going to try to dig myself out of this snow.
Enjoy the snow.
I will. So, for Marcus Vanderberg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. Now I slapped that girl, and you know why. Hey, hey, because I got high. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Attack like I just left.